realize that the power is in God. All the power is in God. And none in us. And this gives us the assurance and the confidence of our state of affairs. Because all is in him, about him, of him. And that's all we're going to hear about when the minister gets up. Him. And we get to talking about him, we do what? It's time to dismiss and go home. Because he is the center and focus of our thoughts, our aims, our aspirations, and everything else. Continue to pray for me. I'm ailing this morning, but the scripture, the word of God, is not ailing. Deacon Howard Gavin shall come at this time with the same message, the gospel of the grace of God. Let us receive him, and more important than the messenger, let us receive the message. A very hearty amen.
Thank you, Jesus. We say grace and peace to the household of faith. We certainly praise God for this worship opportunity to be one with another, members of the body of Christ. That eternally so and manifested in time. We want to ask the Lord's blessing over the message and the hearing and the comprehension of it. So let us pray. Righteous God, our Father, we want to thank you again, Lord, for an opportunity to speak your word, to share your word, Lord, and to receive illumination and enlightenment from the blessed Spirit, Lord, that we might understand and understanding know, Lord God, that which you have provided for us, and that we are indeed secure in Christ Jesus. Lord God, speak to every spirit and mind, not only in this place, but throughout this globe where this message, Lord, abounds. We ask, Lord, that you will lead, guide, and enlighten the mind of the speaker, O God. Guide the tongue, and my God, the information to be spoken to your people. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to turn with me to the book of 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. And the 13th through the 17th verse. Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians, the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians. And we're going to deal this morning with, or this afternoon, with verses 13 through 17. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
We're going to read the King James first, and then we'll give enlightenment from the exegesis. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you, get this, by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Amen. The book of 2 Thessalonians was written by the Apostle Paul from Corinth, and it was primarily a letter of comfort and encouragement, because in his first letter to the Thessalonians, they had misread or misjudged what Paul was saying, and it had caused some doubt and even some fear, especially when Paul mentioned the day of the Lord and then the fact that it come as a thief in the night. And it had caused some great concern. So in their concern, they were moved to wonder whether they had missed, amen, the rapture. They were also confusing the day of the Lord with the day of Christ. Amen. The day of Christ is regarding the church, when in which he'll take us out of here. But the day of the Lord speaks of judgment on the earth and to those that are not the elect of God. So Paul wrote this letter to comfort and console them and attempt to set them on the right track, that they were still in good stead and that they had not been left, they had not been abandoned of and by the Lord. And so I pray God that all those listening today will be comforted in that knowledge, that you are ever in God's presence. There is no getting out of Christ. We didn't get in, and there's certainly no getting out. You don't fall out. You don't jump out. You don't mess up out. Amen. We belong to him. Praise God. Because of him, Christ, and that which he hath done for us and on our behalf, we eternally belong to God, even Christ. Now, I want to speak to you from this thought this morning: the absoluteness of the safety and security of the salvation of the child of God. I know that's a mouthful, so let me repeat it. The absoluteness of the safety and security of the salvation of the child of God. Now, the word absoluteness is a noun, and it comes from the word absolute, which is an adjective. And absolute describes absoluteness. So let me tell you what absolute means, and then you will see how, a better how, that you possess the absoluteness of the safety and security of your salvation as a child of God. Absolute. It means free from any imperfection. Now, this is speaking of our eternal existence in the body of Christ as children of God, as sons of God and heirs of that which is of God, and that of all that which belong to Christ. So, don't confuse that with your imperfections in the flesh. in the body of Christ, where we actually eternally abide, we are absolute. We are free from any imperfection in, because of Christ, and in the body of Christ. We are free from lack. Even the book of Colossians, the second chapter and the 10th verse, say that we are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. We are complete. There's no lack. We are complete. We are whole in the body of Christ, which is eternal. Our existence or temporary existence in these bodies is just that. Temporary. Hallelujah. We're entire with no limits or restrictions. And our positioning and our place there and our standing there is certain. There is no wishy-washiness about our eternal position in the body of Christ. Let me indulge you for a moment with an introduction. We, the elect of God, in the grace dispensation, that word elect means choice or choose. I looked it up, and the first word that jumped out was choose. We were chosen of God. We did not choose God. He chose us. And He didn't choose us because of us. He didn't choose us, certainly, on the account of us. He chose us out of His own good will and pleasure. We, the elect of God, in the grace dispensation. Now, many of God's people are not aware of, many of God's people are not aware that there are seven dispensations. The grace dispensation is just one of them. The first is innocence, an Adam, then consciousness, an Adam. A dispensation meaning the house rule or the administrative rule of God over His elect in any or that particular given dispensation. Next one was human government under Noah. God dealt with His elect in human government. Next was promise. God made promise to Abraham. Next was law. Moses was the federal head of that dispensation. Then the introduction of the kingdom as the Lord Jesus Christ came on the scene, but it was already prophesied in purpose of God that they would reject their king, and therefore the kingdom or the domain was put on hold until God causes His people, the elect of the kingdom dispensation, calls them through trial, great trial, to receive and acknowledge their king. God has to cause that, even as He calls us to receive and believe on Christ our Lord. Even the scripture says that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. That word "duh" is a definite article in the Greek and is usually added for emphasis. Jesus is the Lord can only be attested to as the Holy Ghost give illumination and enlightenment to who He is. So we, the elect of God, and then we had the grace dispensation, which we are in now. It has run now for some 2,000, a little over 2,000 years. In the grace dispensation, we are the most favored of all God's elect of the other six dispensations. We are the most favored of all of God's elect in the other six dispensations, we that are in the grace dispensation are the most favored. Hang on to your hats. I'm going to tell you why. In that, not only are we eternally, we're the only ones that are eternally sun positioned in the body of Christ that is spiritual. We are the church, which is his body. You can find reference of that. Check it out in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. The church, which is his body, not part of the church of the wilderness or those that were in that church. We are the church, which is Christ's very body. Also, in our sonship position, we are heirs of God and joint heirs of that, all of that, which belongs to Christ. Which is everything that eternally exists, or that which, like us, having been eternally, us having been eternally sun positioned in the body of Christ, that relationship does not fade away. It does not end. When God, the Father of us, does away with time, our position in Christ remains. It didn't start in time or with time. It was originated in eternality. We are eternally sun positioned in the body of Christ. Indeed, time has no meaning, no place, and no essence nor presence in eternality. Time isn't there. You got eternity. It just is. Time has no presence, no place there. And that is the venue. That is the sphere. That eternality is the essence of existence, where the absoluteness of the safety and the security of the salvation of us abides. The eternal us, the eternal spiritual children and offspring of God abide. Not in the ever-changing, unstable, evil, corrupt, temporary sphere of time. Our essence, our true essence, our actualized essence, our realness abides in eternality in the body of Christ. The absoluteness of the safety and security of our salvation and that of the child of God. Safety means freedom from harm or danger. In time, you have both. In the flesh, we have both. But in Christ, where we actually truly exist and abide, you have no harm, no danger. Come what may in the earth, and we can look in the book of Revelation and see all the things that shall come on this earth. But even if we were left in it, which we are not, we will be out of here. Even if we were left in it, God is able to sustain us. Hallelujah. Remember the Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace? Didn't even have the smell of smoke or singe on their clothes. Even if we were left in the destruction of the earth, we are not destroyed. We are eternally, spiritually in Christ Jesus. And the word security means freedom from danger, care, or from fear. That reminds you of the Lion King, Hakuna Matata. No worry. We are eternally in Christ Jesus. Now, beginning at verse 13, the absoluteness of our safety and security of our salvation in Christ. Paul writes to the Thessalonians, But we are bound, verse 13 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. But we are bound, Paul writes. We owe it, we ought, and we are obligated to thank the God always for or concerning you. That is because of who we are. Paul and those that were with him, they, in comforting this letter of comfort unto the Thessalonians, and to give them and restore them a sense of security that they are not forgotten, they are not cast off, they won't be left. Paul said, we are bound, we owe it, we are obligated to give thanks to the God, the God. Now, we have gods in our minds, in the perception of our mind. Sometimes we even think God is like us. We get scared, we wonder if he is. When we get confused, we wonder if God is. When we're going through, we wonder if he cares. Yes, he cares. He always cares. He's the one that take us through. Praise Jesus. We're bound to give thanks. Let me give you an example. I was riding along the freeway one time. I was a bit young, and I am now. I'm young now, but I was younger. And I wanted to get over, and a van was blocking my way. And so I'm getting impatient. Anybody ever been there? I'm getting impatient. Why don't you come on here and get out my way? So finally, the van pulled up and sped up, sensing that I wanted to get over, and I was able to get behind him. But getting behind him, I saw a sign on the back of his bumper: Jesus Christ is Lord. I say, oops. Who I had spoken to or was thinking ill of was a child of God, or a fellow believer, or fellow member of the body of Christ. And this is why Paul, amen, is thanking God for the Thessalonians, because of who they are. Now the Bible says in Thessalonians, say, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, but especially they that of the household of faith. All men, but especially they that of the household of faith. So I'm bound to give thanks to God always concerning you, brothers. And here's the clincher: having been and are loved. We not only having been loved, and this is in the perfect tense. This is a perfect indicative. Perfect tense is a completed action with ongoing or continuing results. It don't quit. It never quits. We having been loved, and we are loved. So if you have ever felt that you have messed up so that you wonder where God, whether he loves you or not, look into his word, into the exegesis of his word. Exegesis means the literal interpretation. It was written in the Greek language. Even if you have to go to the Greek or inquire of someone that knows it, so that you can get the actual utterance of God's word. It doesn't make you a child of God, but it will instill a confidence and a security and a sense of safety in Christ. Having been and are loved. You can't mess up. I'm not trying to say anyone can do anything they can. We have been assigned a depraved nature in the flesh. Romans 3:23 say, for all sin, aorist indicative, God have assigned a sin nature, and it come through our foreparent Adam. When he disobeyed, that went down through the bloodline, through all ethnicities. All sin and come short. But you cannot mess up bad enough to get out of having been and are loved. We're talking about the ultimate authority, which is God. And in all of Paul's epistles except Hebrews, he continually say, grace and peace from God our Father. Grace and peace from God. And he is our Father. We have fathers according to the flesh, but we have eternal positioning in the body of Christ. We have eternal sonship, and God is our eternal Father according to our eternal spirit and existence. God is. Having been in our love by Lord, because chose you the God first portion to salvation. Because God chose us. Because he loved us. Before we were ever identified in flesh or manifested in flesh, God loves us. And he chose us in eternity. By his grace. I heard someone say, I had the experience of hearing it say it. Now, grace means no merit. None. No merit. We were chosen him before the foundation or the creation of the world and before the creation of time. We were chosen in him. And I heard this wise saying that the Lord gave our former pastor. He said, you cannot lose by demerit what you did not gain through merit. We are saved according to God's grace, not by merit. If it were by merit or according to merit, none would be saved. Praise God. Because chose you the God first fruit of portion to salvation in sanctification of spirit. That don't mean the way you look and how you dress. That is a separation. The choice that God made of us, it separated us. There is the elect and there is the non-elect. We were set apart unto God. Same thing with that word holy. It means separated unto God. Yes. Not the way you look or dress or don't dress. And faith or belief of truth or truthfulness. Now, first fruit to salvation. We, again, according to who we are. Remember, I pray God it resonate in our spirits who we are. We are not just in and of ourselves. We are members of Christ's body. We are in him. And in all, everything, Christ has the preeminence. And us being in him, we are first because of him and us being in him. First fruit to salvation. In sanctification of spirit. And faith, which I understand is the substance. Faith is the substance. Amen. That God gives us to believe, to identify with, and to receive his word. Mm-hmm. Amen. God don't give you faith to get saved. You were that eternally. Faith to believe his word. Faith latches on to God's word as he ministered unto us. And trust. It causes us to trust his word. And of truth, God chose us of truth or truthfulness. And guess what other word stands with that? Reality. God's word is reality. You just heard it said, we can't go by the things we see. The things we see are not what they seem. God has a purpose in everything. Creation is in him. We can't judge a thing by how it seem or how we look at it or how it appear. It has a purpose. And so in everything, in our goings, our dealings, our finances, our relationships, everything, our gaining money, our losing money, God has a purpose in all of it. Every bit of our life, day to day, second by second, moment by moment, God has a purpose in it. Now you think Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I used to say my course until I was enlightened. Holy Spirit enlightened me through Pastor. He said, I have finished the course. That is the course that God has assigned. Well, I got some things that I want to do. I want to do it this. I want to go here. I want to do that. I'm tired of that. You have the course according to God. Praise Jesus. I heard someone complaining about the fact that they didn't want to serve in the church and they didn't want to do this and they didn't want to do that. I said, that's because God has not assigned it unto you. You don't want to do it and don't do it. If it had been assigned unto you, then that's what you would do. Just like our placement, it's assigned unto us. Our course, it's assigned unto us. Our problems, they are assigned unto us. Yes. Why do you think Christ said, in the world, you shall have, he didn't say might have, probably have, you shall have tribulation. That's trouble. Trouble! But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So what do we look for? Our peace, for our contentment, for our joy, for our deliverance, for our hope,
yes,
for our comfort. We look to Jesus.
Yes.
And in looking in his word, he ministers comfort and peace. And one of the main ones we need is deliverance. Deliverance from anger. Deliverance from fear. Deliverance from anxiety. Deliverance from trouble. We need to be delivered in our minds. We have been delivered, praise God, eternally by the blood of Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation to they that are in Christ Jesus. Period! You couldn't be lost if everybody in the world helped you. There's no losing of the child of God. In truthfulness, God's word, reality. God's word is reality. Let me say this. This is going out over the globe. All of the Bible is true. All of it. But all of the Bible is not truth for us as members of the body of Christ. If it is, you can't wear wool and linen together. Cut it out. You that love fish and ocean dwelling things that got skin instead of scales, quit eating it, according to Leviticus chapter 11. All of the Bible is true. It was truth for Israel. Our truth is the mystery. It was depicted in 14 epistles that the resurrected, glorified Lord Jesus gave unto the Apostle Paul by revelation to deliver to the grace church,
yes,
not to Israel and those Gentiles that are assigned to Israel. They have their portion of God. We are members of Christ's body. To or into which? Now that word which, you'll find it, Paul using that word quite substantially. It is a pronoun. And I want to read what a pronoun is. I was doing some reading. What a pronoun is. Pro means on behalf of. President pro temp. standing on behalf of the president. On behalf of. It's a word, a pronoun is a word that can function by itself or can function as a noun, phrase that refers either to participants in the discourse, such as using the pronoun I, you, or to someone or something, person, place, thing. Something mentioned elsewhere in the discourse. And that is what this pronoun which is doing. Paul said, to which. This pronoun is referring to something else, the nouns, to be exact, in the discourse. When he said to or into which, he's talking about first portion in salvation, us, in sanctification of the Holy Spirit, God, us, even faith or belief or trust and conviction of God's word and his truth, us, truth, truthfulness, and reality unto us of God's word for us called the mystery. Into which all of that good stuff also he called you. Belief, truthfulness, reality, salvation. Into which also he called you through or by means of the gospel of us. There it is. Not the gospel in Matthew. Not the which Paul did not preach. Paul preached the mystery. Paul preached grace. Paul did not preach kingdom as our Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles, the 12, preached kingdom gospel. Paul did not preach kingdom. He preached grace. So he is saying unto them, into which also he called you through or by means of the gospel of us. Paul and those that were with him, that the Lord gave to accompany him and help him dispense of this truth. Us, the gospel of the grace of God. There is only one gospel, one good message for the church, the body of Christ, and it is the mystery or the gospel of the grace of God. Let me reiterate. All of God's word is truth. There is some comfort in the various portions of the Old Testament and in the general epistles, Peter and John. But all the Bible is not truth that is served to the body of Christ. The mystery is our truth. Again, all of God's word is true and is truth. But all of God's word is not truth unto the body, members of the body of Christ, the church. We have a distinct volume that speaks to us regarding us, the expectation or hope of us, the existence of us, the origin of us, the stuff of us, and our stuff is not here. It's in Christ. Our home is not here. It's in the heavenlies. In Christ. The heavenlies are in Christ. So let's use the stuff. Let's make use of the stuff while we're passing through here. But let us not forget or entertain fond memories and association of home. And we do that through God's word, the mystery, the gospel of grace, as the Lord renews our minds regarding who we truly are. The absoluteness of the safety and security of the salvation of the child of God. gospel of good news of us into obtainment. Now you notice King James have obtaining. And I'm going to tell you now why I didn't use, I exegeted the literal meaning of the word. And why I didn't use obtaining. Obtaining, base word, is obtain. The first thing that comes up, it means to get. We don't get anything. We receive. We received our salvation. We received the blessing of God. We received the placement of us in the body of Christ. We received our eternal hope. We didn't get anything. It is all given. It means to acquire, obtain. It's a verb. It means to acquire or secure something. But this word is a noun, obtain or obtain or obtaining. Obtain is a verb. This word is a noun. And it's got obtainment. The suffix ment, which expresses the means or results of an action. And the action, according to verse 13 and the earlier part of verse 14, is of God, yes, not of us. You see what exegesis gets us? It gets us to the root of the matter.
Yes.
Why do you think so many of God's people are running around disillusioned and confused? They think the word of God say one thing when it's saying something else, because the leadership have not properly fed them. I'm talking about God's people now. I'm not saying no one is not saved. I'm talking about comprehension and understanding through enlightenment for peace of mind and a sense of security. We are eternally secure, but to look at some of God's people, you cannot tell it. They shaky as the world. Everything happens, scared as the world. Oh my God, what's next? Oh Lord. Gray hair is coming up like crazy. Praise God. Obtainment. The suffix ment, which expresses the result of an action. We are talking about what God has done. Let me read it. To or into which also he called you. Through, this is his means. This is his means of calling. Through or by means of the gospel of good or good news of us, Paul said. Him, Silvanus, Timotheus, primarily. The good news that they preach. And they preach the gospel of the grace of God out of the mystery. The volume of truth that was hidden from ages and from generations until the Lord revealed it, called out. The Apostle Paul arrested him from his pharisaical, self-serving, legalistic shenanigans and revealed the mystery unto him to give unto the church, the body of Christ. The obtainment of the glory of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ. Now, the gospel does not do that. It informs us of that having been done.
Yes.
We were glorified, according to Romans 8, 28 through 30th verse, we were glorified, aorist indicative, completed fact. We are already glorified. I don't feel like it. Hey, it ain't by feeling. We are glorified. Reality is not in the seeing, it's in God's word of what the Lord has said. Sunday school adults, don't cringe. Dorothy saw a lot of things in Oz. She saw a whole bunch of stuff. She was caught up with the Munchkins. She was caught up with Toto. She was caught up praise God, with the beauty of certain of their cities and landscape. She made friends. She had pet ownership. She busted the shenanigan doing wizard, so-called. None of it. None of it. None of it was real. She woke up where she had never, ever left. Saints of God, the same thing with us. We are presently, right now, members of the body of Christ, been given physical consciousness of awareness and knowing and connecting. Physical consciousness. But when this body is gone, when we are out of here, when we are deceased, all that's left is what always was. Eternal spiritual consciousness. We are going to come into realization through eternal consciousness, out of physical consciousness, into eternal consciousness, where we always were and had never left. Just like Dorothy was, laying in bed in awe. She had never left home. All that was just a depiction. Praise Jesus. All right. Therefore is an inferential, infer, mean to deduce or conclude from the evidence. It's an inferential partial particle of consequently. As a consequence, or therefore, as a conclusion, or therefore, according to the evidence, therefore, might I add, it's a superordinating conjunction. Superordinating conjunction meaning, whoa, that what was said was something. But wait till you see this also. Therefore, and another superordinating conjunction right beside it. The Lord is fixing to lay it on the line again. Therefore, then, also a superordinating conjunction. Brethren, stand fast or stand firm. And also, hold fast or hold firm the traditions, the teachings which you were taught, not from Genesis and Malachi. Truth, not from Exodus and Leviticus. Truth, but the traditions or the teaching which ye were taught, whether, here's Paul, whether through or by means of teaching or through an epistle or letter of us. The gospel of the grace of God is our pedigree. That is our truth. It has in it everything. Now, let me say again. If you know someone that does not follow the script of the 14 epistles of Paul that were given to the church, which is Christ's body, it does not mean that they are not saved. It's just that they have not been enlightened. We weren't enlightened at one time, at one point, but the Lord gave enlightenment, and we are obligated by the mercies of God unto us, by the goodness of God in enlightening us. We are obligated unto our brethren when the Lord gives us a podium or a entrance into an ministering the gospel of grace to our brethren and our sisters. We don't look down on them because we are all equal members of the body of Christ in Galatians. There's no bond and free. There's no male and female even. There's not Jew and Gentile in the body of Christ. There's not wealth and poverty. There's not even middle class. We are all one in Christ Jesus. But the Lord has connected us to each other inseparably. Even if we try to get away down here, we are eternally inseparable one from the other. Hold fast the traditions which ye were taught, whether through or by means of teaching, through or through epistle or letter from us, Paul said. He didn't say from Peter. He was speaking of him and those that traveled with him that ministered the gospel of the grace of God. And himself. And himself. This could be a coordinating or a subordinating conjunction. Coordinating conjunction joins a word, two words, or two phrases of like or equal strength. This could be either. It could be a subordinating conjunction that say, and himself, the Lord of us. Remember, no one can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit, that he is the Lord. The Lord of us, and it always names him, Jesus Christ. And even God the Father of us. Now, God is spirit. He's not flesh and blood. And he continually has Paul to write, God, even our Father. God, Father of us. Now, if he is spirit and he is our Father, what does that tell you about your actual existence, which does not fade away with death? It means that your actual existence is spirit in the spiritual body of Christ. Let me mention this. You all remember when Paul was called up to the third heavens? He was knocked silly, knocked unconscious, on the ground, out like a light. Unconscious. That means he was not conscious to physicality and those things around him. But still, he had consciousness. He knew where he was, and he heard stuff. He said, I was caught up to the third heaven, so he knew where he was. He had spiritual consciousness. And I heard things, of which when he came back, there was not the vernacular of the human language or any language to put what he had heard. It is so glorious. We have a glorious manifested existence, future manifested existence. I say manifested. It already is. We just don't see it yet. And our consciousness have not been put in that existence yet. We are still in earth consciousness and physicality. So God's word takes us there in enlightenment and illumination and in believing. Belief, faith, which is the substance. And himself, the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, and even God, the Father of us, again. If you didn't get it the first time, here it is again. Having loved us. Aorist tense. God has always loved us. Eternally. You were never unloved. No matter how bad you acted. And all of us have messed up in some degree and to some extent. And we're messing up daily to some degree. And I ain't say you were messing up a lot. Maybe a little bit in your estimation to some degree. But he loved us eternally. And also, here it is, having given in his eternal decree regarding us, having given comfort. That is encouragement. That is help. But more than help, God is not just a helper. Hey, let me help you. God is an enabler. Better enablement. God has given us comfort through help and enablement, eternal, unending, everlasting. And also,
hope which is good.
Now, hope is expectation. Somebody tell you, you say, you coming in tomorrow? I hope so. I plan to. You may or you may not. Be on circumstances beyond your control, but not beyond God's control. God has given us the Almighty, who is our Father, the creator of everything that exists, has given us good hope. Now, who going to take that hope out? He is almighty, not sort of mighty. God is almighty, our Father. Has given us hope, good, in grace, kindness, mercy, goodwill, his presence. His presence. We just went through the conference speaking about the presence of God. We are always and ever in his presence. We are in Christ. He has given us favor and he has given us blessing. May he, having comforted. And I put may he because Paul is in the form of supplication or prayer here. And therefore we have what is called the octave mood. He is praying regarding that which God has already eternally assigned. You say, well, if God doesn't assign it, why pray? Because he tells us to pray. God minister to us, regarding us, for us, about us, through prayer. He enlightens us, amen, in response to our prayers, in the prayer, that is. May he, having comforted, he's praying for these brethren, the octave mood, but it's the aorist tense. They are already comforted. You thought I was going to miss that, didn't you? May he, having comforted of you the hearts or the innermost, and also, again, this verb, octave mood, form of a prayer, but it's still the aorist tense. May he, having strengthened. Strengthened means made you firm. God has established us. He has fixed us. You know how you fix something on a shelf or in a painting or in a mural or such? He has fixed us and he has set us up in each and every, because that word is in the singular. It would be in the plural, it would be all, but in each and every work and word, good, useful, fitting, sound, kind, and generous. Let me close by saying this. I dare anyone here, you say, well, I don't know. The Lord really cares the way these preachers be preaching. I dare any one of you get in extreme fear, extreme detriment, extreme confusion, extreme trouble, extreme anything. The extremer the circumstance, the greater the manifestation of the presence of God unto you, because he cares for you more than you could ever care for yourself. In earth, there's no love like mother's love. In existence, there's no love like the love of God. God bless you, saints.